Welcome to Life Turned On, where we share and celebrate the stories of sexual self-discovery in midlife and beyond. Society tells us women's sexuality ends once she reaches a certain age, her body changes, or even when she reaches certain milestones such as motherhood or menopause. They want to turn us off, but we are committed to living life turned on, full of pleasure, deep joy, and an authentic expression of self. Listen in as we share stories of women who are ditching old scripts to pursue their own path to pleasure in their lives and their sexuality. I'm your host, Shauna Stewart, and I want you to get ready for honest conversations, practical advice, and inspiration along the way. Because here at Life Turned On, we believe that pleasure is our birthright and the time to claim it is now. Hi, friends. So one of the things that I love about sexual self-discovery journeys is how much we learn about our authentic selves in the process. And when you meet someone who has done the work to figure out who they really are, rather than who the world thinks they are or wants them to be, when someone is really grounded in and at peace with their personal truth, I'm super drawn and interested to learn more. And this is exactly what happened the other day when our guest, Allie Ray, stopped in Linger Boutique with her partner. We got to chatting and one thing led to another. And now she's here to share her story of transition and self-discovery with all of us, which feels like an enormous gift. Allie is an aspiring musician from Salt Lake City, Utah, and she recently moved to Washington State for life experience and to escape oppressive anti-trans laws in her country. Just in the short conversation that I had with Allie at the shop, I deeply related to so much of what she was sharing. And while our life experiences on the surface might seem wildly different, I believe that listening to stories and connecting with loved ones and even perfect strangers allows our world to expand a little bigger, making more room to really see others and to feel seen at the same time. And that stories like the ones we're sharing today and on this podcast are really our pathway to connection. So I'm super glad all of you are here today, and this episode is going to be a treat. And Allie, I'm so glad you are here as well. Welcome.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be on your show. Never really thought I'd be sharing this experience in such a public way, but I feel like the way things have been going, it's more important than ever to share our experiences now and let us be heard for who we are.
Absolutely. I 100% agree with that. And I think that stripping away rhetoric and getting to know people, I think is just so beautiful and important. And I'm really looking forward to hearing your story. But before we get to hear your story, I'm curious what kind of musician you are or you're aspiring to be.
Well, right now, I've mostly been working on kind of more singer-songwriter stuff.
Okay.
I found a lot of inspiration from so many artists. Like, I'm really big into Cat Stevens and James Taylor. I found a lot of fun and recent artists that are pulling back a lot of heavy effects, like Courtney Barrett or some of Angel Olsen's earlier stuff. I don't know. I write different stuff, but I find that I tend to perform the more vulnerable acoustic things.
Sounds fun. Very neat. So you mentioned that you recently moved to Washington State. How are you feeling about the move so far? And I was just kind of wondering, like, are you feeling safer in this part of the country? And if not, what are you experiencing or observing in this state as compared to the state that you left?
Oh my gosh, it's a pretty big change, to be honest. I was really blessed back home to be in such an amazing creative group of musicians and artists, you know, and queer folks who were really in that scene. But as far as like everyday life at my job with interactions with everyday people, as well as coworkers and just on the street, being misgendered all day was the norm, other than with my group, of course. But once I got here, I'm still kind of blindsided by how normal and accepted I am. It's almost like, I'm invisible, just how I want it to be.
Wow.
I can blend in and nobody you know, I'm not being treated weird. I've been misgendered a countable amount of times, and I've been here for almost a year now. And that really, really blows me away that I'm surrounded by a culture that doesn't find me as strange or out of place, or like I'm not part of society and culture. So it's pretty big.
Yeah, that is big. Though I can imagine, and I don't want to put words in your mouth or whatever, but like the nervous system probably almost needs time to even adapt to that.
Yeah, actually, it's my partner and I, when we got here the first few like months, we were like, no one's staring at us everywhere we go, or like treating us with disdain or disrespect when, you know, I haven't even tried to engage with somebody. It's really amazing.
That's good. Well, I'm glad it's been a positive experience for you. When we were talking about this interview, you jotted in show notes that you wanted to talk about the great transmigration. Is this tied into your experience with moving to Washington State? Can you talk about what it is and why it's happening?
So it's a phrase that I've used and have heard other trans folk like myself use to this time in our country where we're having so many trans folks leave states that aren't safe, states that are passing laws that are designed to make them criminals and try to basically push them out of society. And some of us just can't, you know, we're not going to stand for that. We're like, oh, I'll go somewhere else then. But, you know, it's hard for those that can't leave and that have responsibilities and things that they can't leave behind. It's a challenge. And I'm surprised that I'm part of it. And, you know, it was more than just the laws as to why I left. I had so many different things leading me into moving. It's really been an accumulative, but there's definitely a lot of people leaving states like Texas and Florida who are trying to box us in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some of the laws that are coming out are really heartbreaking.
Yeah, I worry about my friends back home.
Right. Well, and that's what I was thinking about in the move. You're moving towards something better, but that you still have family, community, kind of those connections that you have to leave behind. And I bet there's like a grieving process with that as well. Because
yeah, it's been a lot. I'm very grateful. I had a lot of it, strong encouragement from my community and family, you know, that it was okay. And that, you know, I was doing what was best for me.
Well, good for you. I'm glad you landed here in Washington. I'm glad I got a chance to meet you. Do you feel like you're forming a community here, or are you still in the process of meeting people and finding your crew here?
Slowly but surely. I've had a lot of pretty big challenges that have prevented me from getting out there in the way that I normally would, but I'm starting to get out there and meet people. I'm not in a rush though. It all comes in time and when it's ready. And I find artists are typically the best and most accepting.
Very good. Well, I want to hear a little bit more about your story from the beginning. So can you talk a little bit about when you first became aware of your gender identity, and when did you really start to explore and understand it?
I was probably a teenager, but even before I became aware of this, I had so many feelings and experiences that put me in the shoes of a feminine role. And I often had to like hide that self from the world or from my family. I feel like it's pretty well known that being raised under a masculine identity and being trying to fit into that when you don't really align with the qualities that we tend to associate with masculinity, and always being kind of an oddball with classmates, friends, people. I mean, like even some of my closest friends that I grew up with today, who thank God are supportive. It's been a very challenging recognizing things like that. Like the first time that I felt pretty, I was like 3 years old. I was with my neighbor friend. We were playing dress up and they let me wear this dress. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm a pretty little girl. This is awesome. But so many experiences along the way, I'm surprised it didn't come to it sooner, honestly. Like when I was a teenager, I'd steal my mom's razors and shave my legs. I just remember being like, oh my gosh, my legs are so soft.
Smooth.
And I showed a friend of mine and they were like, holy crap, your legs are softer than mine.
Oh, funny.
But there was also, like, ever since I was little, I wanted kids, and I associated with motherly qualities, and like, I'm the mom friend. I go around and take care of everybody and make sure everybody's got water and has eaten. I remember that I had a friend in high school who essentially came out to me as a trans woman. Mm-hmm. And this was kind of the first time that I had somebody who related to me, and being able to share those feelings and not feeling like I was alone and like I had to keep this to myself and always hide it from the world, because I had to live up to these masculine expectations of being tough, which I always hated. I've always been a more sensitive person. You know, I like to watch chick flicks with my mom, and that first friend I had, we played Barbies all the time. And you know, these are like menial things. They're toys and clothes. They don't really define femininity to me, but in our society and culture, we associate these things with femininity. And the fact that I felt myself more aligned to these kind of said it all. But it took me a long time to realize, like, oh, I'm not just into very feminine things. I'm also really uncomfortable with a lot of these gross, gritty things. I mean, like, I don't mind hiking and camping and all of that kind of stuff, but if I can do things without getting dirty, I will. Mm-hmm. I like taking baths, but I felt kind of like I couldn't. I'd take long showers, which would really, really piss off my dad. And he would like yell at me sometimes and be like, if you want to be a girl, just turn on the tub and you can sit in the water for an hour. And it was kind of traumatic, because I remember feeling like, what is so wrong with being a woman that you are this angry? Like, why is womanhood seem to be the issue here? And I remember wanting to scream at him, like, so what if I'm a girl? Excuse me. I mean, but I understand his frustration as I grew older, of course, you know, a working parent needing to have their shower and go to work. I was interrupting that. I had to have my me time too.
Yeah. Wow. That's interesting. So lots of little moments that maybe some things maybe you clocked when you were a kid or younger, but maybe some things you recognize in hindsight. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, there were like a lot of things that stuck out more. Ever since I wore that dress as a 3-year-old, I spent the rest of my upbringing trying to come up with ideas and plans, like, I'm going to get a girlfriend, mm-hmm. and I'm going to make a bet with her that I will lose intentionally, in which my consequences, I'll have to wear her clothes at the mall or something like that. And it's just like really elaborate things to get myself into a feminine role. You know, in hindsight, I probably could have just like found a dress. You know, I kind of hate to admit this out loud, but at the same time, it's, you know, an interesting thing. I took a pair of panties from one of my best friend's older sisters growing up for me. I mean, yeah. I washed it, of course, but like, sure. I it just happened to be a thong. So like, it was comfortable, and I've always liked them for whatever reason. But being able to like have that and like keep that to myself.
Yeah.
It's been a journey. And like looking back at those things, like, oh, that's not really something little boys do or think about or act like or have invested value in. And you know, I think that there's definitely like room for more vulnerability in masculine social conditioning.
Yeah, that's, I mean, we could do a whole episode just on that when you're talking about the roles that you were seeing with like masculinity and femininity and how that was showing up and whether or not we feel like we can behave in a certain way based on what gender is assigned to us and what expectations are around us as a result of that. And we could do a whole episode on that, just the question of what's so wrong with being a girl, what's so wrong with being a woman.
I know, right? It's like,
but maybe cocktails, I mean, for that one.
You know, something that you know, really shocked me, because I was always jealous of girls growing up. I wanted to be them, and I felt like they were able to express themselves in ways that I couldn't. And later, after I came out, I had to look at the toxic thought patterns that I had about women growing up in a masculine frame. And I had to deconstruct sexism that existed in me, which, you know, I was able to do that. It was very healing, but mm-hmm. I had to take what I thought a woman was and what I considered feminine and go deeper and realize that, oh, I'm putting this on a pedestal that isn't fair to other women.
Mm. Do you have examples or an example of something that you had to kind of deconstruct or reevaluate about what women were that you had to unpack?
Definitely like women being objectified. I mean, we could go specifically to sex if you want and talk about how women are, to my understanding and such at the time, was that women were the object of desire. Like, if you watch a porno, do you ever see the man's face? Like, does he matter at all? Or are we focused on one part of him? Which always made sex hard for me, because, well, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself. I know you've got questions for that.
Yeah. Could you tell me a little bit about what the process was like for you coming out, both from like your own perspective and then also what your relationships look like with your friends and family as a result of coming out?
Coming out has been a long process for me. For a lot of my life, from being a teenager, when I had that friend, they told me that they were transgender. This was the first time that I had words for what this was, these feelings that don't go away and tormented me daily, how like I felt trapped in a role that I was in. And the first time I really tried to come out, I was, I believe, a senior in high school, and I had a final project with my creative writing teacher and my class, and I was going to read a poem. I wish I still had it, because then I could share it. Mm-hmm. But it ended with, and the woman I know I am, which put context into the rest of the poem. And we had to read this out loud. And with my teacher, I opened up to them, because I'd known them for, you know, several years now. And they were a trusted teacher. I'm like, I want to wear a dress. I'm transgender. I'm trying to come out. Could you help me? And they agreed. But day of, you know, I was going to change in their classroom, like just before, but they bailed on me that day. I came up to them and they were like, I'm sorry, I don't think I can do this. And I'm sure they were concerned about, you know, their career and things like that. But it was devastating for me. Mm-hmm. First time I thought I had someone who supported me, and I had friends in high school who had my back and lent me a dress. But I remember reading that poem and getting to those last words and the room going silent and everyone on me trying to process what I'd said and feeling so awkward and uncomfortable. And I just put my head down and like ignored the rest of the day. But this was such a huge blow. Luckily, I could go into summer. I was still trying to be out. I had lost my girlfriend at the time. They didn't want to date me because I was trans, which was hard. They supported me in being trans, just didn't want to date a trans woman. So I was like, well, okay. I'd lost the best friend who, you know, they later, like a few years later, apologized. Later, I written letters to my parents that got ignored, that got shoved under the rug. I tried to show my father pictures of me in a dress and like, hey, this is who I am, and tried to talk to him, but he laughed when he saw the pictures, which hurt pretty bad. I had a friend that I thought I trusted and said to me, I just don't think this is who you are, but continued to support another friend of ours who was transgender. So I went back in the closet, and that was all 2013 to 2014.
So sorry to interrupt, but can you tell me what it means to go back in the closet? Did you just stop talking about it? Did you stop dressing a certain way? What did that look like?
I was already pretty limited on what I had available to wear.
Okay.
Like, I was trying to be trans and, I didn't have feminine clothes, so like trying to acquire them was a whole trip. But yeah, it meant putting away what little things I did have. I think I maybe had some foundation that a friend gave me, maybe like a three color palette, which I didn't know how to use. Like, there was nobody there to try and help me with that. I got rid of the only dress I had. I began living as what I thought it meant to be a man, which really wasn't very healthy. I mean, I can totally see why folks didn't want to spend time with me specifically, because I had like a big friend group at the time, and no nobody had issues with me being trans, but I think they could tell that I was being inauthentic, in the back of their minds. Like, they could tell I was kind of like a dude bro in a lot of ways. And I saw I went through some drug abuse trying to cope with all of this, which made the toxic masculinity worse. Felt that I couldn't be vulnerable with partners. There's one partner I tried to open up about it with, and they broke up with me. So I was feeling very like my experience was unacceptable. Like, there was something wrong with me, and that maybe if I try harder to be masculine, these feelings will go away. But they never did. They just got louder and louder in my brain until eventually I got kicked out of my family's house. I think a big part of why I ended up getting kicked out is because they wouldn't talk to me. And I kind of had a little bit of an emotional break, and I made some art on their walls. Oh, yeah. Nothing like the charcoal drawing of the trans kitty woman with the whip and her panties coming down. Like, so many like song lyrics. And apparently, like, after talking to my dad about it later, apparently the guy that they hired to come in and paint was like, "You sure you want to paint over this? You don't want to like take pictures of it? This stuff's pretty cool, and there's a lot being said here." And they were like, "No, just paint it." I had a few experiences after I got kicked out. I had a friend, and I kind of came out to them. A friend that was letting me live with them. I bought a few dresses, got home with these, and I like did a fashion show down their stairs, like, "Check out my new clothes," and I felt pretty again for the first time since that, like, that first time since I was like three. I know I want to feel these things, but I don't have an avenue for them. And this was like the first time it came back to me. Long story short, after that, I moved in with some friends, and I went to my very first Pride celebration. Pride is actually like really big back home. As far as I've observed, it's the biggest festival that happens pretty much the entire town of Salt Lake. So I'm like, I'm going to Pride. I'm gonna dress up and look the part and have a good time. And I bought this really cute bodysuit that was for like a dancer's bodysuit, and this silver fractal romper with this little skirt attached. And that was like, wow, I'm like with my people. I feel normal. I mean, even though what I was wearing was extravagant, I was there to celebrate. Because at the time, I really only identified as bisexual, and the friends I was living with didn't really know that I was transgender. But I came out to them after that. We went to this rave and had this amazing experience with this woman, but I'll talk about that later. For some unrelated reasons, I got kicked out, and during that process, one of my roommates kept telling me to be a man. And after, like, he knew I had come out as trans and was like, "Dude, why are you telling me this? You are making things worse." But I ended up being homeless, which, I straight back into that masculine side, trying to survive, trying to protect myself, especially trying to protect that like inner feminine nature inside, because I didn't want to get caught in a bad situation. I didn't want to be in danger. Well, I met someone at a show, this beautiful non-binary soul that captivated me, because I was like, oh my gosh, this is a trans person. And I haven't seen one in years. And they're spunky and fun. I got to dance with them. We ended up hitting it off. We went and got food later, and I went back to their house. They told me about how they were polyamorous. One thing led to another. We started dating. And for the first time, I had a romantic partner that was queer and supported me in being feminine and coming out. And the friends I'd made at that rehearsal studio supported me fully and loved me for who I was, greater than anyone ever has, other than my partner, of course. It's been really remarkable because that was the last time I came out. Ain't going back in. Can't make me. The experiences that I've had because I came out have healed me, has healed my perception of women, has healed my relationship with men, and has made me a better person. Like, I wasn't being the best person before I came out. I didn't feel like, you know, I feel like I was in constant competition everywhere I was. And once I came out, I had relationships that valued me, not just emotionally, but sexually. I felt fulfilled for the first time. I felt like I wasn't just a stick. I felt like my body mattered.
So can you contrast this experience with how sex was for you before coming out?
I felt like my body didn't matter. I felt like my thoughts and feelings didn't really matter. The way my hormones were set up is like, it's like I was a sex fiend with no outlet, no people to have sex with. So I definitely had a lot of masturbation going on, which I'm sure didn't help my like mental image of myself, like either as masculine or as feminine. I found transgender porn at a young age. I was like, oh, well, there's no guys in it. There's these women with dicks and they're having sex with women. So it's less gay. Right. A lot of hoops, to convince myself that was less gay. But it turns out that's actually a lot gayer. Go figure. I tried to bring up that, like, I didn't feel like I could trust my partners because of how many had left me for coming out as trans. I'd even been left for bringing up the idea of, like, bringing in a trans person to have a threesome with. So there was always this, like, desire. The closer I'd get to like, climax, the more I'd want something in me. But I feel like I had to like chase down sex in order to get laid. But after I came out, I found like I got laid when I wanted to, which was like really nice. For once, I was that object of desire. I was, you know, my ability to like seduce someone was all up here in little ways of how I move or how I talk or how I look at you, or, you know, I had way more control by saying less. I didn't have to try so hard. I could just like be open and honest.
Yeah.
I could be vulnerable, and the kinds of experiences that I had opened me up in ways that I could never have even considered. I even started having threesomes for the first time in my life, which was really cool. Like something I'd always wanted.
Yeah. And
something I'd, you know, it was so far out of the ballpark as like a man in society. Like it just wouldn't have happened with how I was. Or if it did, it would have been super circumstantial.
What I'm hearing is all of a sudden there was alignment within yourself. And that alignment all of a sudden clicked into confidence that was coming through, that people were now trusting you because you weren't behaving in a way that was out of alignment with who you truly are, which people can pick up on, you know, so it's kind of speaking to your friends earlier, but just being able to be in true alignment with who you are externally and internally gave you the confidence and the ability to be alluring and sexy and attractive and all of that in this really provocative way. Am I hearing that right then?
Yeah. I mean, it's like for the first time I felt sexy. Not, I could see it, look in the mirror and be like, oh yes, I look attractive. Like if I was wearing a suit or like I, for the first time was like, I am sexy, I am beautiful, and I am powerful because of that. That fire got lit within me and it radiated out. And it just magnetized people into my life that were right there on that same vibration.
Cool. Yeah. Well, I definitely picked up on it in the shop. Like, you're just like very grounded, alive, present. And that just like draws people in because they're like, well, I want to know you. What are you about? I want to know you. Thank you for sharing all of that. I really appreciate that.
It's been a spiritual experience, to be honest, in so many ways. I mean, I remember the first times that I felt recognized. Mm-hmm. It was before I came out. There was a woman that I met at a rave. This person had met me in a dress, had seen me as a transgender woman, saw me that way, and was ready for me to be that vulnerable self. I mean, I even had an out-of-body experience, which I'd never had with sex. I'd never had anything that like put me to a heightened and altered state of consciousness.
Nice.
Even the communication that we had after the experience was it was vulnerable. I felt like this person had seen me, and you know, like they had listened to me when I talked about how like I never felt like any of the nerves on my entire body mattered when it came to other partners. I wish I had been ready though, because you know, I chose fear from all of my previous experiences, and when we started seeing each other, that femininity got locked away and didn't come back out. I met them later, and we had both transformed, and they saw me as my realized self, and they were like, "Oh my gosh, this is the beautiful woman I met that night. Aww. I don't know where you went, but it is so good to see you." But that's kind of what it was like before, after, because that, like I said, that was the first time I felt like somebody saw my body and saw me in it, and not just what it was attached to and the expectations that aligned with how my body was supposed to work for them. I had that explosion of people in my life that saw me for who I was and didn't take advantage of me for it and didn't have any expectations about who I was or how I had to be. Mm-hmm. They loved me for who I was and how I blossomed.
How's your family with you now? What's your relationship with your family like now?
Oh my gosh. Essentially, I tried to come out to them on multiple occasions, didn't get the communication that I feel like I still deserve to this day. But I just started coming over in a dress and makeup, and you know, like I've got two little sisters, and like letting them do my hair and do my nails, and like my two youngest sisters are my biggest supporters in my family. My parents still won't really talk to me in depth about it. They're like, "We love you for who you are, but we don't want to talk about it." You know, maybe that's just part of how my family is, but. Which kind of sucks, because it's led me to have to do a lot of deep diving on myself and be comfortable and confident with who I am and basically say, deal with it. Mm-hmm. I found an extremely surprising amount of support from my grandfather, who, you know, he's in his 70s. He's from that older generation that typically has a pretty hard time with us as transgender people. Mm-hmm. And he has a belief system that has me that fits in there. Like in his worldview, I'm literally in transition from masculine life to a feminine life. Mm-hmm. And that makes a lot of sense to me, actually, because I kind of believe in reincarnation in a way. And I feel like if reincarnation really is what it is, then it would make a lot of sense to have a life in between where you have to work through those changes in order to like be in that mental headspace to grow up as a gender that you haven't been in your previous lives, mm-hmm. let's say, which really blew me away, because Like, I was like, oh my gosh, like my grandfather is one of the biggest supporters of me and my family. And I don't know what happened to the rest of his generation, but he doesn't seem to have any problem with me. I mean, I run into that a lot with older folks, coworkers sometimes. I've got a pretty challenging one right now. You know, they always bring up their age or something, and it's like, it's not your age. It's your desire to hold on to small-mindedness or to your belief system. And it's like, you know, it's not a simple question. If someone were to say to me like, oh, it's black and white, I would have to say it. No, it's definitely shades of gray, my friend.
Right.
Like, I know what my body parts are. Trust me, I've had a lot more thought into being trans than you have. Like, coming to terms with this is one of the most difficult things I've ever had to do. Like, it uproots your entire lifestyle. It uproots family, friends. It's not easy. And it's definitely scary because coming out as trans can be dangerous. Like, there are people who hunt people like me, essentially.
Yeah, so I think what we should do, because I want to learn so much more about you, and we have a lot more questions that we wanted to get to today, but let's take a pause and maybe we can come back for another episode. Would you be open to that?
Absolutely. I'm sorry, we didn't even get into sex after I started hormones. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, well, that's one of the things that I think we should talk about in our next episode. And there's a couple other really good questions that I think that you and I wanted to get through as well. So let's
Yeah.
plan to reschedule and we'll come back for another day. And I just thank all of our audience members for being here and we'll come back for part two. So join us next time.
Take care.
Bye. Thanks again for listening. If you enjoyed this story, I hope you'll subscribe so you don't miss the next one. Please share it with a friend to keep the conversation going and leave a review. That would be super helpful. We invite you to follow us on Instagram at Life Turned On Podcast. And if you have a story you'd like to share, please email us at stories@lifeturnedonpodcast.com. And the next time you're looking for lingerie or sexual wellness products, I hope you'll consider shopping at lingerboutique.com so we can continue to normalize rest and pleasure together.